Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, is the Marine South Expo. So as we do when these things kind of roll around, we talk to the man, the myth, the legend himself, Michael Regner. Mike, what's going on? How are you?
Mac, I'm so glad to hear from you and get the chance to communicate with great service members and their family members across America, not just about the loyalty and the love of the Marine Corps and our armed forces, but about, in this case, the Expo South that showcases some of the best equipment in America, in the world, birds. The most precious resource we have in America, and that's the young military members and their family members. It safeguards them against any type of, multiple types of any kind of activity that would endanger them. So, thank you so much for this phone call, sir.
No. And, for those of you who don't know, Mike is a retired Major General. He's the Director of Military Expos at the Marine Corps League. He's a senior mentor in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's a consultant for Naval Info Warfare at the Naval Information Warfare Center. So he's a busy guy. You had a little bit of a speaking engagement earlier today. Tell us about it.
Thanks, Mac. I had the opportunity to go to the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina, and I actually speak to the wrestling team. And the wrestling team just came back from the national championships up in Pittsburgh. And many of those young men and young women will join the armed forces. And I spent some time with them tonight about the discipline and the dedication of a collegiate athlete and how that translates over into the dedication and the discipline and the loyalty that you really get absorbed into you and you demonstrate as a United States service member, especially as a Marine. So thanks for asking that question, but I felt honored to be with the, in this case, the Citadel's wrestling team, which we're very fortunate in my estimation to have the former Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Glenn Walters, and his wife Gail at the Citadel in Charleston, South Carolina to show some leadership and to show and demonstrate some esprit de corps. So thanks for that question, sir.
No, it's what we do. It's what we do. We do leadership. Somebody sent me an email at the last time you were on, so let me ask you here in public, and I'll read it. Mac, I enjoyed listening to General Regner talk. I'm curious, of all the tours that he had, next time you have him on, could you ask him which was his favorite, and he can only pick one? All right, there you go. This is a tough one.
Wow. Mac, thank you so much. I honestly think that when you serve beside Marines in combat, which no individual should ever seek combat, but when I served beside the Marines in the 1st Marine Division in combat, I realized how important and how how much I needed to ensure their training was the hardest possible before they went into combat. I owed it to the moms and dads and family members across America to make sure that I pushed and I challenged physically, emotionally, mentally. So, back, the answer to your question is, when I was a division commander, when I was a Marine Expeditionary Unit commander, and I had Marines beside me in Afghanistan and Iraq, nothing was harder or more challenging, nor more rewarding, and sometimes sorrowful, than combat beside my brother and sister Marines in a conflict that I wish never happened, but it did happen because all of us in the armed forces, of course, support our Constitution and know that combat is a very, very difficult time. But to answer your question, sir, combat with the Marines I served beside was the most rewarding time and most painful time for Marines and or their family members. Thank you.
Mike, you know, are you ever so appreciative of the decision you made as a young man to join the Marine Corps as when you see the Marine Corps fight? And I tell people, I said, you know, let me tell you, when the metal density gets thick in the air, you are never, ever so glad that you joined the Marine Corps, because nobody fights like we do as a corporation. You don't have to look around to make sure they're coming, because they'll come. And they'll die if they have to. But there is no give, right? Even when somebody lands a punch against us, we take punches. And it is the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life. Still, to this day, you know, when I think about it, it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life, one of the most humbling things in my life. And again, I say that. You're never so happy that you join the Marine Corps when the shooting starts and you watch what Marines do. And they don't do it like two or three times a week. They do it every day. It's awesome. Your thoughts on that?
Mac, I'm emotionally pulled and emotionally stressed because I, as you say, combat, and I say Marines, and I say my brothers and my sisters. I wish it was me. I wish it was me that paid the ultimate sacrifice. I was older. My family was mature and grown. But I've seen so many young men and young women pay the ultimate sacrifice at the age of 20, 25, 35, and they had little ones. There's no greater love. I breathe heavy because, Mac, you pulled that one. I wasn't expecting that question. And I can only say that I wish that I'd give my life any day for a 25-year-old that had two little ones, 2 and 3 and 4 years of age. Combat takes us to the next level, and I mean that because there's no stronger family than a fire team family, the four individuals in the Marine Corps that make up that fire team family. Now, a squad family, a platoon, a company, a battalion, I got all that, Mac, but when it's four individuals, or even if it's a squad, you know everybody in that fire team. You breathe the same breath as those in the squad. So, Mac, you're pulling at my heartstrings. I only wish that for those young men and young women that paid the ultimate sacrifice, either in training or in Afghanistan, in Marsha or in Iraq in Fallujah. Oh, brother. These Marines today need to know you depend on each other. Never make a decision by yourself. Thanks, Mac.
The other thing that you said that Mike Musselman says when we do post-traumatic winning is I love you so much, I'm going to train the living shit out of you. Right? You might hate me for it. I don't care though, because I have a responsibility to the people that love you, to not count your feelings, but make sure you're the hardest, best trained, right, war fighter that you can have. And that's where that love shows. Special trust and confidence. I tell people it's not with the Congress. It's a pact with the American people who give us their sons and daughters who expect them back. And the only reason not to get them back is because the enemy had a vote that day and there was no way to prevent it. And the only way you can prevent that from happening is if you train them hard, 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 and make sure they're ready. So when you send them that way, you know that except for something exceptional, they're going to come back. And that's a heavy burden. That's a heavy burden, and that's why we train the way we do. That's why we devote ourselves to what we devote to. But that's what Mike Musselman says. I love you so much. I'm gonna train the living hell out of you, and you're probably not gonna like me for it. But I don't really care because I know that you don't get fairy dusted on a flight over. If you're not ready to go, if you're not disciplined here in CONUS, if you're not disciplined in Garrison and can't get stuff done. If you can't step off on time, if your EDL doesn't match, if you can't do those things, stand by because more people are going to get injured and killed because you don't have your shit together. So it's interesting thing.
All right.
Let's switch gears. Talk about this year's expo on the East Coast. What has you excited about it?
That's a great question. Every time you turn around back, if you don't understand all systems that deal with unmanned aerial systems, I think you're shooting behind the duck. What I really like about these expos is that you get the different technology that talks about artificial intelligence, mechanical learning, unmanned aerial systems, and the Marine Corps today must be able to defeat 50 or 100 drones coming at them with the ability to jam our equipment and or deliver, some type of kinetic device on our fire team squads, which is companies. And so what I really, really like about the Modern Day Marine series and the Expo South, Expo East, is that the latest technology will be showcased to our young Marines, senior Marines. And the senior Marines and junior Marines will say, have you thought about this? So industry broadcasts and showcases, but at the same time, our Marines get a chance to ask and question and challenge those organizations to say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? So it's a win-win both for the Marine Corps and for industry to make sure that we're doing everything possible to safeguard America's most precious resource, and that, of course, is our Marines.
All right, so at the South Expo, I got a chance to ride in the new AAV. What do we call that thing?
Well, good, very good. Amphibious combat vehicle, the ACV.
The ACV. I got a chance to see that thing and walk around it, and that was pretty interesting. Got a chance to talk to the Marines, and did they like it or what?
Yeah, Marines like it because it swims at 7 knots in the water, 6 to 7 knots in the water. It's got four wheels. What's important about the amphibious combat vehicle back is the fact that it can, the reliability and the maintainability of these run-flat vehicles
Yeah.
And the fact it's new and the armor that's on it, you know, I gotta tell you, as a guy, as an individual who went to sea back in 1977 on the AV, and and it was up and operating 60% of the time. It's aluminum. These new vehicles have a certain level, it's classified, of of its armor protection, but amphibious vehicles operate 96% of the time feet dry, meaning they're ashore, which means they've got to be able to be reliable, maintainable by the crew chief. And I am very excited, very happy that America has gone in the direction of the ACV, because of the fact it can leave from an amphibious ship, get ashore, and most likely in a non-contested beach area, and transport our Marines to the fight. So, I'm a huge proponent, Mac, of this new product.
Is the Expo in the South different from the one in the West? I've heard people tell me it's bigger.
Expo South is bigger. And the reason I say that, there's no real difference except a few more exhibitors. East Coast seems like it has a few more members of Congress that support our programs. It has a few more generals that are just from the Washington, D.C. area. And I think there's more visibility on the East Coast than there is on the West Coast, both just as, you know, patriotic and supportive, but I think you get a few more individuals that will travel from the D.C. area to visit the different programs that are demonstrated in North Carolina than there are in California.
Right. No, proximity helps. Let me ask some basic question. For the people listening to this, where is it held aboard the base?
Thank you, Mac. Right, when you come on the board of the base, at the main gymnasium right there, so you're going right on board the base, and you're going right down the main traffic area, and right there to the left at the main gymnasium, it's like every sign on the base.
Okay.
Is pointing. In fact, you can't miss it. You go down the main drag, there must be 500 cars and 500,000 Marines. They're all going, I want to see, you know, Marines are, you know, we are creatures that love comfort. They want to go see the latest socks. They want to see the latest flashlights. They want to see the latest small arms ammunition. They want to see the larger ammunition. They want to see the aircraft. But Marines follow the trail of the Marines because they all know, in some cases, they may get a free pair of socks. More importantly, they may get a free flashlight. But what's so neat about Marines, they want to see, I made a comment a year ago, did they take that comment and improve their product? So, God bless them, man. Marines are so loyal. Oh, geez. You always want a Marine on your flank, Mac. Always.
No, without a doubt. Talk to me about, a similar schedule events in terms of the dinner on Wednesday night, the mixer on, tell everybody what's there, and do you have any ideas if the mixer, I think, is open to anybody. But the dinner do you know if there's still tickets available? Can anybody go to that?
You know, that's a great question, Mac. The dinner on Wednesday night is really sponsored by the Marine Corps Association and Foundation, and I love those guys because their CEO, chairman of the board, Lieutenant General Mark Faulkner, United States Marine Corps. Retired, puts on a very good presentation and honors the local Marines in the area that have made significant contributions. So there's always room. They may sell out of tables, but if 50 Marines show up and all the tables are filled up, I guarantee Mark Faulkner is going to go to Marston Pavilion and say, I need 50 more seats, and they will make those seats. They may not be the most comfortable. They will sell out. But if folks want to go and hear in this case, the two MEF commanders speak, or one of the generals speak about all the challenges and opportunities, Lieutenant General Mark Faulkner will do that at the Marston Pavilion on Wednesday night. Now, Thursday night, I'm unbelievably excited about Thursday night because that's more networking. You know, Mac, we bring in about 40,000 Marines a year to carry the cloth of our nation. And the loyalty, the esprit de corps is unbelievable. But at the same time, you bring in 40,000, you know, you got to release about 35,000, 37,000 a year as our time draws up. Those 30-plus thousand Marines need jobs. They need to have the opportunity to show America their skills they learned in the Marine Corps. Number one skill, leadership. Number two, discipline. Number three, loyalty. You show me a member of industry today that doesn't want discipline, work ethic, or loyalty. They're all there. When these Marines get out, they need a chance to showcase their skill sets. If there were a grunt like me, Mac, they want to showcase, I'm more than just a grunt. I'm a leader. I have discipline. I have loyalty. I have a work ethic. So on Thursday night, Mac, the Marine for Life program and the opportunity to showcase individual skill sets to potential employees and employers will take place on Thursday night. So I'm very excited about Thursday night. I'm honestly, when I could take care of a Marine, and I think if we could do that on Thursday night, I'm more excited about Thursday. I'm equally excited, but Thursday night is a chance for me to help a young Marine or a senior Marine, doesn't matter the rank,
right,
help him with employment. So thanks for asking that question.
No, you meet just all kinds of people, and you can, whether they can serve as a mentor to you or connect you with somebody else. It all happens with a handshake and saying, hi, how are you, and introducing yourself. And if you'll do that, you'd probably be surprised at some of the people you meet and some of the doors you have open. And I will tell you this, the Marine for Life program, my younger son just EAS'd out of the Marine Corps, and they opened a whole series of doors for him because he was going back to the D.C. area, and he's been stationed out here on the West Coast. And so I was very impressed with the contribution they made, as was he. He said very good things about him. So they're going to sponsor this thing, and so good. And then, what else? There's a PT event on Friday, yes?
Ha! Unbelievable, Mac. Thanks for asking that question. When you get a former Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Sergeant Major Mike Barrett, and Sergeant Major Gene Overstreet, another Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. It's unbelievable that these two Sergeants Major don't say, General, we need to charge you $10,000. These guys they don't care about, money's interesting. They care about esprit de corps. Sergeant Major Mike Barrett, on Friday, with the physical fitness program, and it's not a butt kicking kind of event. He leads and cherishes the opportunity to go and run like 2 miles, airborne shuffle, nice good rate, good speed with Marines, and then finish it up and talk about combat leadership. Sergeant Major Overstreet he talks combat leadership at another event. I just got to tell you, you learn from the young men and young women that may now be a little bit older, like Mac and Mike Recker. I got to tell you, if, you know, 90% of the Corps is made up of the backbone of the Corps, and that's our enlisted force. You know, non-NCO, NCO, staff NCO. And 10% of us are officers. Fine. We're not the backbone. I love God. I God bless General Neller. God bless all our commandants. The backbone of the Corps is Sergeant Major Green. He has the opportunity to shape the staff NCOs, non-NCOs, and NCOs of the Corps. They're the ones that have the most challenging mission. And when you go to a Friday event, Mac, you get the chance to talk with giants of the Corps like Overstreet and Sergeant Major Barrett. Thank you.
The it should be a good event. I'd never met Sergeant Major Barrett until the expo out west, and got a chance to meet him and talk to him. He told me he listened to All Marine Radio, which I was very flattered by, and so I'll get him on before the event and we'll talk about it. But no, it's a celebrity PT event, for God's sake, so it should be that should be very good. The Mike, as you walk around, is there anything when you go to these things? Is there anything you look at? I'm always amazed how technology gets smaller, how it gets into different things that you don't really anticipate. I'm also amazed. Last time I was there, I saw the presentation that Colonel Steve Arms did, and he and I have worked together since then. And they've taken some stuff from post-traumatic winning and are looking at incorporating it into their I don't know what they call the app, if they're going to call it Force Fitness app or whatever they call it, but it's pretty amazing what they're doing, this holistic approach to whether it be nutrition, physical fitness, mental health, but very, very, very interesting. Is there anything, are you a sunglasses guy? Are you a technology guy, a drone guy? Is there anything that you like to check out more than anything else?
Well, you're touching close to home, Mac. My son's a Marine, like
right.
yours.
Right.
I think combat leadership. Mac, nothing's more important in life than the love of our family, the bond of our family, the strength of our family. I got the equipment. I want my son, who's going to be with the battalion this summer, I want my son to learn from opportunities that you present. That, you know, Mac, when you listen and you look at what you're doing for the Corps and our families, this isn't just a Marine Corps event you're talking about, Mac. You're right. talking about a lifetime change, a lifetime opportunity to show even greater love and affection for those that you serve beside, as well as your families. When I look at Barrett, when I look at Sergeant Major Overstreet, when I look at you, when you give your presentation, I say, this guy Mac, McNamara, is more than just today. He and the folks that he has surrounded himself by is a lifetime discipline, because Mac, I think it is a discipline. I think what you and people life is never going to be easy. But if you bring your buddies and your friends in with you, you can rely on them, you can lean on them. And I think that for the Marine Corps League, for Emerald Expos, for the Marine Corps Association Foundation, with Mike McNamara, where we're going with these expos, Mac, is towards greater relationships and friendships and camaraderie. Other side of that is equally impressive as hell, and that is what products are available to safeguard the American service member. I got the products. I personally love the focus on unmanned aerial systems. That's number two. Number one is safeguarding America's service members to live today to fight tomorrow. The fight can be kinetic or non-kinetic. It can be cyber warfare. But Mac, the point is, where you in the last 2 years I've known you have taken the understanding of the strength of fiber in the core is greater than any piece of technology. Huge, like I said, I'm a huge proponent of unmanned aerial systems because we have got to defeat them on the modern battlefield, because a $2 piece of machinery might take out the life of a Marine, and I've got to defeat that machine to safeguard America's most precious resource. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, Mike, how you can, you know, how, again, smaller the technology gets. If it's smaller, it's harder to detect. And then once you can be, once somebody knows you're there, right, then they can, right, they can kill you. So that is not, you know, the targeting problem, you know, gets a lot more complicated when everybody's got a drone. And so it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta figure this one out. We gotta be ahead of the enemy. Whoever the enemy is. The enemy, you know, this is interesting for it, is that there are there are five major cyber warfare experts in the world. Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, and the United States. And we all compete in cyber warfare every day. I would love to say America will never see another kinetic event.
Go ahead.
But I don't believe that.
Go ahead. I dare you to. No, you know, Mike. It's the whole issue of future war, the future of, first, the future of, the future of manned aviation, right? So, the F-35 is so expensive. How long can we build aircraft that are that expensive? Right? And do you have one of those controlling maybe six other, right, drones that have the same maneuver capability, but since they don't have to protect a manned pilot, right, they cost less and so there's one pilot leading a flight of, four or six aircraft. The other five are not manned. And so you could do things with unmanned, you know, aircraft. I find that all very, very interesting, you know, where aviation goes given the modern lethality, and what do we devote the precious resource of our manned aviation to, as opposed to, you know, when, especially when you're talking about peer-to-peer competition, and you see, you know, elements of that at these shows, and you look at it, and you're like, wow, that's pretty amazing. So I think that's all very interesting.
Well, you're absolutely right. I talk to folks all the time about warfare is evil. We never love it. Be ready for it. Be prepared. But it's evil. People will die. And whether it's kinetic or it's non-kinetic with cyber warfare, people still die if you shut down the electrical, the utility, the power grids in large cities or even small cities, Mike. I mean, if you think about what did you just do to a hospital? What did you just do to a home for the infirmed?
Right.
The warfare of the future, America is smart to invest heavily in cyber command and all those elements that protect the resources that our service members need today. So, wow, this is a tough one, Mac. You got me on this one, man. I mean, I grew up post-Vietnam kind of Marine. I closed with destroy by fire maneuver. little did I know, 40, 50 years later, I would be saying, close with and destroy by cyber and electronic warfare so that the quality of life, the services that we need for our nation is protected. And that's where we are today.
Yeah, and that's how you see these things, different elements. And sometimes you see elements of the technology, or maybe not the technology itself, but a variation of it. And you're like, whoa, if that's in that, imagine what a larger, bigger, more expensive platform has. And it's pretty, you know, when the reps talk about technology, it's kind of looking over the horizon at, you know, technology that's come to market, and now it's even spilling off into other things. And that's why, whether we talk about drone technology, whether we talk about ammunition technology, whether we talk about, you know, sight, night vision stuff, you know, let me just tell you, if you haven't looked through night vision devices in the last 5 years, stand by. You're gonna get your ears blown off when you look at what, you know, if you're used to the old flat green, right, ambient light magnification. Yeah, it doesn't look like that anymore.
You're so right. I don't want to tell you. I do a lot of, you know, down here in South Carolina, I spend some time down here. I do some pig hunting just to protect the farmers and their crops. And I've got, not state-of-the-art, but pretty close to it, night hunting capabilities and that are all approved by the state game wardens to limit the feral pigs that are destroying millions of dollars. And I'm thinking, holy crap, you know, I hope our Marines, our service members, have this level of fidelity and visual effects that I have when I'm, you know, dispatching little critters that would reduce the cornfields in South Carolina. So I'm with you, man. Technology today compared to when I put that first set of night vision goggles on with Lieutenant Colonel Chuck Krulak. Yeah, he says, Captain Regner, try these on, but don't lose them. They're very expensive. I don't know what happened to them, but the next day I saw some of my young Marines going, hey, let me see those. I need to get out in the woods and take care of business. Yeah, let me use those. I went, oh, these things are so expensive, they're like a year's salary. But anyway, to your point, Mac, it's great technology.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, and then it's also, you know, cool to have the time, you know, if you can go there and take a couple hours, to have the time to spend to talk to the reps and ask them questions. Cause, you know, most of them are veterans. They gravitate to those specialties because, you know, they spent time in them and then kind of walked across the street and started working for companies. And it's really cool. And I don't care whether you're talking about sunglasses, and you'll see those there, or if you're talking about next generation unarmed aerial systems, it's amazing. Or physical fitness. I will tell you this: if make the time, if you're going to go by and talk to the force fitness guys, and look at the way, you know, they're building an app, right, that will link into a wearable. And Colonel Colonel Steve Arms, you sit down and talk to him, and you see what the future is. Trainers in battalions, right? To keep Marines, you know, physically fit, working through injuries, in the game, things that, you know, we would associate with athletic teams, right? And now associated with, you know, with going to the field, combat Marines. And just, it's amazing the direction. And you get a chance to get your hands on these people and sit down and talk to them. And I have to get the, we'll have you on again, and I'll have the list of presentations. I know post-traumatic winning's gonna happen there, and then I'll get the list of presentations and we can kick them around a little bit. But I sat through because I got there for my presentation early, and because that's how I am, and they were doing the Force Fitness presentation, and it ran a little long, and I sit down and I listened to it, I was blown away. I was blown away at where this is going to go.
Yeah, the Force Fitness, America has really, in the last couple of years, done a reawakening to say fitness is key. The Marines have done the same thing. We've always been huge on fitness. But I got to tell you, everywhere you go now, everybody's establishing a new workout facility, a new workout program. The Marines have got it. And it's not just great for our Marines, it's great for our family members. I see so many spouses that get involved in the different programs on Force Fitness, and I see young children being involved even more and more and more.
Right.
And I just got to, I am so happy that the Marine Corps doesn't just see fitness from a, fitness is as much psychological and spiritual as well as it is physiological. Right. And that's what I think Force Fitness is all about. In other words, Mac, 10 years from today, a Marine gets out and he says, I was a Marine for 4 years or 40 years, however long, and I have a discipline for the rest of my life about wellness. Force Fitness and Stephen Arms brings wellness and quality of life that is sustaining. It's just not a topical issue that will be for today. What I like, it'll be for tomorrow and the future. So,
well, hey, how come you're not on in that run on Friday? You're a PT guy.
I'm down. Hi, thanks, Mac, for throwing me on the bus. I am actually in Charleston, South Carolina with the wrestling team, and they're all asking Coach Mike Regner, come on, Coach, I don't care about that general officer stuff, will you work out with us on Friday? I went, be more than happy to work out with you, but you'll go at my speed, my endurance level. I mean, I'm all about the rowing machine, the step climber, you know, the elliptical, but I do work on my abdomen so I have a six pack like Mac McNamara.
Right. I wish. But you know, I'm getting there. I gave Regner a little bit of fitness advice because we were talking about swimming. And I said, let me give you some advice. Instead of just doing like the slow old man crawl of death, right? Start sprinting. Get in the pool and for a half hour just do length of the pool sprints. Stop for 45 seconds and then as hard as you can go, right? Just rip the cardio in there. And it is a fantastic workout. I just did it about, an hour and a half ago. And I haven't done it in a couple weeks, and I was gassed after the second one. And but you know, it's so gentle on your body, and it's such good cardio. And it's also a good way to get your anger out, punish that water. So I do that. And again, as you get old, you got to listen to your body more. So we're all about that. But I just wondered why you weren't. Or you wouldn't.
Yeah, okay. You threw me in the bus. You threw me out of the water. You started doing a chokehold on me. You're an asshole. I got it. But the bottom line is, I do agree with you. As much as it hurts me to say that publicly, you're right. Intense 45 seconds, break for 30 seconds, or a minute, get that heart rate up to 160, or whatever you can by your age. Take a break, then push it again. Mac, you are so right. Push the envelope, relax it, get a coach, breathe it, and then get back into it. I said, you know, over the holidays, I know it's March and all that good stuff, I gained 1 or 2 pounds, you know, as a wrestler, you know when you gain even 2 pounds. I got back onto aerobic intensity, and you're absolutely right. I got in the pool down here in South Carolina, Milliken University, and with a little bit of strenuous activity, I dropped those 2 pounds. I'm a slug, but not any longer because of you.
No, you know what? I got some good advice. Yours ago, but from a doctor when I was coming back on active duty, and he said, "Look, do yourself a favor and listen to your body." And it was great advice, and I do. And because, you know, his point to me was this: he said, "Look, you're in the Marine Corps, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What do you do in the Marine Corps?" I said, "I'm a grunt." He said, "Okay, let me tell you what grunts do. They destroy their bodies, okay? And your body only has so much to give you. So as you get older, you got to listen to it unless you want to be non-functional, you know, as you get older. Because your body can only give you so much before it begins to reclaim." And, you know, it was a great little piece of advice for me. And I've listened to it. And I still, you know, I like to lift free weights. But I'm mindful of, instability in my shoulder. So I've got to be more disciplined about, I got to do lighter weight and do more, pay more attention to my technique when I lift as opposed to what I used to do years ago. So you can still do these things, but whether it's rowing machines and sprinting, you just got to find a way to get after it that is conducive, you know, with taking care of your body, because when you get injured as you get older, that stuff takes longer to heal, and nobody wants to do that. That sucks. So there you go. There you go. Max, old man fitness tips. Give us one old man fitness tip, Regner.
All right, go ugly early. By that I mean, if you don't work out in the morning, in my experience, you're not going to do it at noontime. You got grandkids to take care of. You got a lovely bride or husband to take care of. You're not going to do it in the evening. You got other opportunities to excel in the evening. You get your butt up early. And early might be 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. Get to the gym early. I don't want to say get it over with. Get your opportunity to excel in early. The rest of your day will go great. Come home, work out. And here's the secret. 20 minutes of core. As we get older, your core keeps your posture. Your core keeps your six-pack. Your core keeps the ability for you to maintain a functioning strength in your entire muscle skeleton structure. So work 20 core and then go into maybe 20 minutes of weights. You have got to work a 20-minute weight program. Arms, legs, weights, not a lot of weight. You're not into major amounts of weights to build strength. You're into maintenance, flexibility. And then the last 20 to 30 minutes, you've got to have cardio. You've got to have some program that works your heart. Now, again, core can work your heart. Muscles can work your heart. But I really want you to push the envelope, get that heart limit up in the last 20 to 30 minutes of a cardio exercise. So, Mac, my answer is one-third, one-third, maybe a little more than one-third with core, muscle, and cardio. And I think that has worked for me. So for your listening audience, whether you're active duty or you're you know, like you, Mac, in your golden years. It might work for you.
In my golden years. What, so for your 20 minutes of cardio, what, of core, what do you do?
Okay, so core, I'll just say about 5 minutes of intense stretching. And then, for the abs, because everybody needs ab work, and a little back work in there, you gotta do some leg lifts, you gotta do some floater kicks, you gotta do from side to side, you gotta do some sit-ups, but predominantly it's sit-ups and side to side. You go into muscles, and anybody can tell you what to do there. But cardio, I like the Stepmaster. I like the rowing machine, which is great for Marines to get older. Again, as you get older, and I'm 65, I think you need to do about 15,000 meters in 15 minutes. So I say you need 35 minutes, 30 to 35 of cardio. So if you could do 15 to 17 on the Stepmaster, 15 to 17 on the rowing machine, or 15 to 17 on the elliptical, that gives you a 35-minute, get that heart rate up. Don't be satisfied with 110, 120. Push that cardio up to 130, 140, if that's within the parameters of your age.
Right.
And I think two things. One, you'll be able to take care of your children, your grandchildren, and have a very healthy, active lifestyle. In the same time, it'll help you lose weight or maintain your weight.
Yeah, I think that you know what, Mike, it's interesting. The other thing I found as I've gotten older is where I used to be, you know, similar workouts with variation for years, I now try to do multiple movement exercises. So instead of simply doing like a military press, you know, something I learned in, God, what's the guy? His name's Tony, I can't, P90X, right?
Yeah.
So it's a movement that starts with, you know, dumbbells in each hand, but you do curls, you rotate them, and then you do a shoulder press, right? So you're not just doing a single movement. You're doing multi, so it's a bicep and then shoulder movement. So, and in that way, you know, I think you're getting more, you know, you get more bang for the buck in doing things like that and that's what you see in rowing. You know, rowing is a cardio event, but, I mean, you are getting after it with multiple body parts. During that, you know, period of time that you're on the machine. And I think that helps as well. The other thing, and I didn't think I'd say this, you know, I was talking about meditation, as a tool for wellness and as a combat tool, right? And if you would have told me 10 years ago I'd have been saying that, I'd have said you're higher than a kite. But, I interviewed a captain and so when we went to do, post-traumatic winning at EWS, during one of the breaks, the captain came up to me and said, "Sir, I wrote one of my papers here on meditation and how it can be an effective tool for a warfighter." And the more you think about it, it's a wellness tool that helps you clear your brain, and it's expeditionary. It can go everywhere that you can. And your guitar can't always go with you. Your horse certainly can't go with you, and neither can your puppy. So you might use all those things to keep your life in balance, but when you deploy, right, you have to be, you know, ready to take care of your mind. And so, but I think we have to change the name, Mike, and I want to get your thoughts on this. And so instead of calling it meditation, you know, we're going to kind of rip off the whole CrossFit thing, and we're going to call it CrossMind. Right. So you're sitting there, eyes are closed, you know, somebody walks in the corner and they say, "Hey, Marine, what are you doing?" And you look up and you say, "I'm doing cross mind, sir." "Oh, okay, carry on." "All right." And they go on. But if you say, "I'm meditating," everybody's going to go, "What? What's he doing?" "No, I'm doing cross mind." So what do you think of that? Think that's all right?
No, I like it because I'm Mac. Marines don't really meditate that. You know, in my experience, that's not one of the terms that are in vogue in Supreme Court.
No. But,
however, if you say, sir, I'm doing some mental toughing.
Right. I called it combat mind clearing. I probably open up to get the right term. But you and I both know, when you're making split decisions with the rules of engagement and not only Marine lives but civilian lives hanging the balance, your mind better be clear. And if you don't have a way to unclutter it and get it clear, you need to get one because, life doesn't wait for anybody on the battlefield. And so your brain, especially if you're a leader, your brain's your number one weapon. You got guys standing in front of you most of the time that will take care of most of the gunfights, right? Your job is to employ the unit to use your brain. And especially for leaders, keeping your brain clear, keeping it fueled, keeping it right. I mean, that's not a small deal. And I will tell you, I think probably we haven't paid enough attention to it. And so it's kind of an interesting discussion with him, and I had him on my show today, and he was talking about his paper and what he thought, and he said, look, you can do it anywhere. You don't even have to close your eyes to do it, so you can trick people, and he said, you have to just find out what works for you. So interesting. And again, that's why I said, I learned a bunch of this stuff, from Colonel Arms, and he was talking about how the whole Fitness of the Force initiative is, has gone holistic, and that ultimately you'll have wearables that Marines will wear, that data will be pumped into the company office, and you're going to be able to see if somebody's not working out. You're going to be able to see if somebody is, is struggling in their cardio. And you're going to be able to then counsel them and say, hey, man, looking at your numbers here, what's going on? And you're going to be able to be proactive instead of waiting till something, they're putting on weight or they're not. So pretty interesting stuff in terms of the direction of all that stuff, which is all kind of on display at the expo. So again, it's a very, very cool event. And, Mike Regner's been gracious enough to hang out with us for a little bit. And, Mike, if you don't mind, we'll have you back on here in another week or so. And I'll have the list of classes, and we can make sure that we get all the best information out. But I appreciate you doing this tonight.
Mac, it's always an honor to serve beside you and to serve our Marines and our family members in this brief venue. And you bring up so many good points, Mac, about how to take care of these young service members and senior service members for that matter.
Everybody.
And their families. And you provide a service, Mac.
No, I love it. It's the best. Now, and I'd also like to invite you, if you're around, to introduce post-traumatic winning. And that way you have a chance to redeem yourself from being UA on Friday last time.
Mac, I'm always looking for reasons to redeem myself. I need all the help I can get.
Regner was UA. He's supposed to introduce the thing, and he's a no-show. And then about 20 minutes into it, he sticks his head in. But I was respectful and didn't stop the proceedings to yoke him up.
So I'm a loser. I get it. I'm okay with being a loser.
No. You're not a loser yet. Okay, that remains to be seen. Because in order to be a loser, there has to be a pattern of conduct. We have yet to establish that.
my kids say, Dad, you wore our asses out. Okay, I did wear your asses out, but my God, you're all champions in my heart now, and your mother's heart, Mac. I do want to say this. About 5 years ago, I was so sick and tired of hearing about post-traumatic stress disorder. I didn't want to be labeled having a disorder. I said post-traumatic, growth. I have growth. I have learning. And this past week, I went to a day-long conference with medical technology experts all across America with med tech. And they were looking for technologies. that talked about taking care of American service members. And I said, well, the first person talked about post-traumatic, you know, stress disorder. I said, stop. I do not have a disorder. American service members have winning and growth. And so, Mac, I want to tell you, right in front of many, many companies that do with medical technology, med tech, on how to take care of American service members, I threw down the card and said, it's winning and it's growth. So I've learned from you, Mac, and I'm most appreciative of what you've given to me and our American service members and families. Thank you.
No, it's, let me just tell you, Mike, and it gets better the more I do it. And I would offer you this as I let you go here tonight. I don't think about this. The way we deal with trauma is we medicate and then we send them to talk therapy. Okay, I would tell you this. How do you talk an event, a traumatic event, into a good place? How do you do that? What can anybody say to make it better? And what I believe, and the whole thrust of post-traumatic winning is this. By sharing your story, by talking about it, by then using the knowledge that we have about this, the truth that we know in our culture, by giving that to other people and using your pain to help others, that creates a transformation in all of us as we touch other people and we give. I don't think you can talk your way to a good place. And I think that our fundamental approach, because that is the way we do it, we medicate and we talk about it. That's not enough. But I will tell you this, if you give of yourself, it is uplifting and it's transformational. And I will tell you this, the miracle of what happened at the Hanoi Hilton, why those guys came back with a 4% rate of PTSD, has to do with the love that they shared under Admiral Stockdale's leadership while they were being tortured in solitary confinement. They hung together and they talked about it. And then the last 2 years they were there, when the North Vietnamese knew they had to give them up, they put them in groups of 50. And in those groups of 50, they unburdened themselves, they forgave each other, they talked about it, right? And it was that giving and mentoring for each other that transformed most of those guys into different people. And it's that transformation that we have to focus on. And the medication and simply talking about the event, I just don't know how you talk it to into a good place. I just don't think you can do it. And so I'm optimistic as hell that we can all go there. And what we have the opportunity to be is mentors and guides for people. We have a chance to be traumatic guys to people to take them to a better place. And that is the opportunity that we as veterans have. And I think it's very exciting that we can show people a better place and a better way. So I'm fired up about it.
Well, I love it, Mac. I love your intensity. I love your loyalty. I love your energy.
All right, just don't be late. The next time you're UA, I'm going to come looking for you.
I'll be ready, damn it.
All right. Mike Regner, my guest, Major General, United States Marine Corps. You will see both of us at the Expo, the South Expo. And again, you're going to meet all kinds of Marines from Marine for Life. The Marine Corps League is huge and it's present. But the association does a great job in all of this. And Mike, one of the great ambassadors. And so just looking forward to another great event. So we'll have you back on, Mike, in another week and talk about it some more. And then looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
All right. Semper Fi, Bulldogs. Semper Fi, family members. God bless America. God bless our Corps. Amen.
There you have it. Michael Regner in all of his glory. More of Armoring Radio coming up next.